The trader, left hand, walked, contemplating the dreams that had been leaving him nervous and preoccupied. He glanced up at the endless midday sky and squinted. He was following a ridgetop, as all sensible people did at this time of year. The snow had melted under the warm rays of the sun, leaving the ridgetops clear. The very thought of travel across the valley bottoms soured in his mind. With the warm days, snowmelt left puddles of water that soaked the best smoke-cured moccasin leather. Soggy moccasins grew heavy and wrinkled even the calloused feet of a trader. Worse than that, the clinging mud made each step a labor. Footing in that sticky stuff couldn't be called anything but uncertain, and a slip meant a tumble in the mud, and undoubtedly into any cactus that might be around. The slopes under the ridges remained deep in wet snow. Not only did such traveling drain a person of stamina, but it saturated leggings and froze clothing stiff after sunset. Left hand pulled up for a moment. His string of dogs immediately stopped behind him, enjoying the rest. He gripped his trader's staff in his calloused left hand, the feathers hanging from the hoop-shaped top dancing in the breeze. He'd crossed the cold water that morning, and now followed the stream eastward. The Round Rock camp of the Earth People lay ahead somewhere. He lifted a hand against the sun and studied the terrain. In his memory, the camp should be around the next outcrop of weathered granite, back in a cove where it caught the southern sun in winter and avoided the brunt of the west wind. Left hand carried a heavy buffalo hide pack suspended from a tump line. He wore a bone-beaded jacket and long leggings, from which most of the fringes had been cut for various repairs to his pack and the dog harnesses. Endless days of sun had burned his face the color of sweat-stained chokecherry wood. A hawkish nose jutted from his broad cheeks. His skin showed the lines of laughter and the grimaces forced by bad weather. A thick pelt of bear hide hung around his shoulders for warmth on cold days. He kept his long hair pulled back in a single braid and wore a wrapped beaver hide cap. Behind him, the dogs waited in single file, happy eyes on him as their pink tongues twitched with each hurried breath. People talked about Left Hand's pack dogs with admiration. He'd traded for the best, strong, big animals, capable of bearing heavy loads. They looked motley, splotched with white, brown, and black. The bulging pack strapped to their backs bore the profits of his trading trip in the basin lands to the southwest. There, the winters were considerably milder. The salt trader people, who lived to the southwest, traded all kinds of things in demand among his wolf people. For one thing, they had salt. Big blocks of it they levered from the basin floor by the huge salty lake. They had saltbush patties, ephedra for tea, effigies woven from yucca leaves, dried fish and waterfowl that couldn't be had during summer months in the uplands. Best of all, the antelope people, farther south, had various breads made from the sweet, fleshy pinyon pine nuts they collected in fall. They also made a chamisa bread that had a light, fluffy texture. Those traded very well to his wolf people in the high country to the north. The moon had been full when he began his journey home. Since then, he'd watched two more full moons pass. The journey had been long, with several stops to hunt meat for his dogs. Each stop triggered that sense of unease, as if pausing placed him in jeopardy.
Oh, maybe I've just been gone from home too long.
Not far ahead lay one of the camps of the Earth People. The prospect of a night at Round Rock meant that he'd have people to talk to, and maybe they'd tell him something to explain the disquiet that had come to possess him as he proceeded north. He could have visited several other camps, but none had been on the straight line to his mountain, and the dreams had driven him on his way. Not only that, but when a trader showed up, he was expected to trade. If a man did too much of that, he'd wind up back home with nothing unique for his own people. A little bit here and a little bit there, and pretty soon his packs would be filled with buffalo meat, elk, antelope, biscuit root, goosefoot, all things naturally available. Trader power came in all kinds of forms. The very act of trade itself carried a power. And those who were called to trade passed anywhere they wished, protected by the power symbolized by their staff and the service they provided. At his whistle, Left Hand and his dog set off again. He worked down a shoulder of the ridge and skirted the slopes where the snow melted in rivulets and ran off to the drainages leading to the cold water. He'd made no more than half the distance toward the Round Rock camp when he spotted the man pulling up sagebrush. The fellow seemed to be struggling awkwardly. A sizable pile of uprooted sage already lay stacked for carrying.
Hoye!
The man spun around and stared.
Hoye!
Left hand changed his course. Ah, so that was it. The man's right arm seemed useless. He worked only with his left. No wonder he looked off balance. How did the cripple expect to pack that huge pile back to camp?
Welcome, trader. I'm Bad Belly of the Round Rock clan.
Bad Belly turned.
Trouble, sit.
A black and white dog that trotted out of the sagebrush sat down. Left Hand was surprised by the obvious affection in the man's voice. Most people cuffed their beasts, shouting and threatening.
I'm Left Hand, trader of the wolf people.
Left Hand shrugged out of his heavy buffalo hide pack and gave the crippled man a thorough inspection. Bad Belly stood a little below average height. His facial features were bland. He wore his hair in two braids, and his clothing seemed somewhat dingy. The strong odor of sage hung around him like a blanket. Sensitive brown eyes, tinged by a deep sadness, met Left Hand's gaze. Did the man's soul weep? Those eyes touched him, spoke to something deep in Left Hand's heart.
Firewood?
Yes.
Left Hand inspected the pile.
Oh, a lot of firewood. Did my power bring me to the right place at the right time? A feast, perhaps? Some special occasion?
He hoped it was so. Hoped that the tragedy in Bad Belly's eyes didn't betray sickness or famine. Bad Belly shook his head.
No, there's no feast. I was just given the duty.
I thought that kind of work was for women and children.
As soon as he said them, Left Hand regretted the words. Bad Belly glanced away, his look wounded.
I have to do my part, that's all.
Left Hand berated himself. He'd tripped and fallen over the first rule of trading, never offend.
I could help you. Looks to me like you've got several trips here. We're not far from Larkspur's camp, are we?
Around the rocks there.
Oh, not far.
Left Hand signaled his dogs to lie down. They'd started forward, eager to sniff this strange new man and his dog.
Well, with two of us, we can get it done in no time.
Bad Belly pursed his lips and frowned.
It might not be a good idea.
Why not?
Bad Belly shrugged self-consciously. Left Hand stepped over to sit on a boulder where he could enjoy the sun.
At least tell me the news. I've been down in the salt trader country. And beyond there, among the antelope people. What's happened here? Any news of the wolf people?
Bad Belly smiled, the effect like sunshine after a rain. Some special spirit lit his features, making the flat plains of his homely face happy, serene.
Oh, lots of news. Cattail has gone over to Three Forks to see about the gathering. Well, maybe that's not important to you, but let's see. Oh, yes, there are rumors that the Sun People have moved into the Grey Deer Basin north of the Sideways Mountains, and that your Wolf People raided them a couple of times. Other rumors say that more clans of the Sun People are moving south. Some talk of war, some talk of meeting with the Sun People to see if they'll go back north.
Meeting with them won't send them back north.
Oh?
I traded up there a couple of years ago. Brought one of their traders back with me, as a matter of fact, and showed him the trail to the boat people's land far, far to the west. They won't go back just because someone asks them to. They fight as much with themselves as they do with other people. I don't know. They're strange.
Bad Belly nodded, a pinched look on his face.
Well, they aren't here yet. You look worried.
Just thinking about the wolf. It popped into my mind, is all.
What wolf?
A big black one that watches me. He shows up now and then.
Bad Belly's eyes went vacant.
You want to tell me about this wolf?
Bad Belly glanced around uneasily.
You know, among my people, wolf is a spirit animal, especially the black wolf. He's the messenger of Wolf Dreamer, whom you call First Man. You remember when you stole our sacred bundle? That is our power. The soul of the people, which was given to us by Wolf Dreamer. Tell me, I'll believe you. If it was Wolf, the spirit helper, maybe it was assigned to you. We take power very seriously. Dreams, too.
Dreams?
Bad Belly's face became a study of conflicting emotions.
And dreamers?
Especially dreamers. What's wrong? You've been having dreams?
Bad Belly scuffed his feet.
Not dreams. Not like that, not the power kind.
Left Hand leaned back and cocked his head.
Well, I'm just a traitor, mind you. But I know quite a bit about people. Knowing such things, I get a feeling about you. Are you in some kind of trouble? Is there something about Round Rock I should know? Like, maybe not to stop there for the night?
No. No.
Bad Belly shot a nervous look back toward the camp.
Nothing's wrong. It's just me.
His face flushed hot, and he dropped down to sit on a rock opposite Left Hand's. Bad Belly indicated his bad arm.
I'm just not much used to them. That's all.
You are in trouble. Huh. You don't look like the type.
How's that?
The earnest appeal warmed something in Left Hand's soul. The man seemed so innocent, so kind. Everyone should like him.
Well, you're not very crafty. Generally, people who are crafty get in trouble. They try to pull tricks. You know, take advantage. You're too honest. Your soul shines through your eyes. That's it. You care too much.
After an uncomfortable silence, Bad Belly slapped his good hand to his knee, shaking his head as if to rid it of sudden sorrow.
I guess I don't live up to what Larkspur thinks I should be. Maybe, like you said, I'm not crafty. I just don't care about getting the advantage and trying to make people do what they don't want to do.
Well, what do you want to do?
Look at this world out here. There are things to see, things to wonder about. Like the sun.
The sun?
Left Hand squinted up at the blinding orb.
The sun!
Bad Belly smiled, absorbed by something in his head.
Think about it. You can feel the sun's heat. It makes light, like fire.
Uh-huh. So?
So, what does it burn? Wood? There's no smoke. Have you ever seen a fire that didn't have smoke? Even the driest of wood makes smoke. And not only that, but you never smell smoke. Even if it was invisible smoke, you'd still smell it, wouldn't you? You can smell lots of invisible things.
Left Hand lowered his gaze to Bad Belly's thoughtful features. The man looked radiant.
I guess I never thought about it before.
Most people don't. And there's another thing. The sun goes down in the west, right? That means it has to go around the world to come up in the east. So why doesn't the ground get hot at night? The sun should be under our feet, maybe in a tunnel somewhere, like a gopher tunnel.
Well, if it really goes underground...
Then, if it doesn't go underground, where does it go?
Maybe one son dies and another gets born.
Bad Belly grinned, a new animation in his eyes.
Ah, good thought. But think about this. If the sun is born every morning, it never grows. In fact, it starts out great big when it comes over the horizon and gets littler until it crosses the western horizon, where it gets big again. How many things do you know of that do that? Just the moon. And speaking of the moon, why doesn't it burn as hot as the sun? And I don't think the moon dies every night either.
Well, and why is that, Bad Belly?
Because it always looks the same. Even when it goes from round to a sliver and back to round again, the moon has exactly the same markings every time. How many things do you know of that die and are born again time after time and always look the same? Even red squirrels and mice and birds have different markings, you know? Little changes here and there that let you tell one from the other.
No wonder Bad Belly had trouble. Left Hand met Larkspur once, 5 summers past. A painfully practical and cunning woman. She had left him feeling uneasy. Beyond his own experience with her, her reputation had spread far and wide. People feared and respected her. The Earth people made few decisions without consulting her. And Bad Belly lived in her camp? No wonder she'd sent him out here to pull up sagebrush.
And there's more. Why does the sun change its path across the sky? Why are days longer in the summer and shorter in the winter? Why can't you see the way the path changes through the seasons? Why doesn't it take the south trail across the sky one day, and the north one the next?
I don't know, but it never does.
How do you know that?
Left Hand waved in the direction of the mountains.
Well, we have stone circles with rocks placed just so. You can watch the sun come up in the morning, lining up on the rocks. By watching the rocks, you can trace the change in the sun's path.
What I'd give to see that!
Well, build your own. Find a ridge top and make a circle. You'll have to be up there at sunrise and sunset. Then look across the circle and line up the rocks. That's all.
I couldn't. You know, Larkspur...
wouldn't let you?
She's a good leader for our clan. She has to make decisions for all of us. Make sure that everyone is taken care of.
You know, that's the trouble with you Earth people.
It is?
You mean you think about the sun and moon, about the markings on mice, and you don't think about your own people and why they do what they do?
Oh, I think about people all the time. I wonder why people act the way they do. Sometimes things happen, and we just act, you know, like jerking your hand back from the fire. Other times we think first about what we'll do, we plan. Is one different from the other? Do you ever wonder about that?
Oh, yes! A trader thinks about that all the time. If we could figure out how people think, we'd always have the right stuff to trade at the right time. As it is, we just guess that antelope people will want buffalo meat, or that pinion nuts will be in demand by the time we get back home. But that's not the question I asked. What about the way your people live? I mean, you don't fit.
Of course I fit.
Then why does Larkspur have you out here pulling up sagebrush for firewood? The Larkspur I know couldn't care less if the sun traveled under the earth.
Bad Belly looked away as he rubbed his good hand nervously on the grease-stained leather of his pants.
I used to have a friend who cared. He died.
Oh, I'm sorry. He was the one who listened to you, wasn't he? The rest, they don't understand, do they?
Bad Belly started, as if hearing words out of the past. His throat worked as he swallowed, nervously shifting his eyes as though looking for some answer hidden in the patterns of sagebrush shadows or in the configuration of the rocks.
Traitor coming. He said that. He knew.
Left Hand stood and slapped Bad Belly on the back.
Help! Come on! I'll help you pack this sagebrush into camp.
Larkspur might not like that.
She won't offend a traitor, especially not when he's being helpful.
Left Hand followed in Bad Belly's steps, carrying an armload of prickly sage and his traitor's staff. That haunted expression on Bad Belly's face stuck in his mind like boiled pine sap. By Buffalo's hairy scrotum, he just plain liked the man. Left Hand glanced up at the sky.
Just what does the sun burn anyway?
White Ash threw herself into the tedious chore. She worked in the flats north of camp, where the soil had better depth and grew taller sage. The day weighed on her, the sky leaden and dark with clouds. The land endured, snow-packed and gray. She labored hard, hating the weakness in her muscles as she drove herself to bury grief with exhaustion. The scrubby brush made wonderful fuel for the hearth. It smoked very little, lit easily, and burned like a torch for several minutes before the hard wood fragmented down to coals. When enough rocks were thrown into the fire to absorb the heat, they would return warmth all night. When a thick bed of coals was made, the hearth would put out heat for at least 2 days. And sagebrush grew everywhere. Along the drainages, it grew as tall as the tallest man. Out in the basins, it might reach as high as a man's knee. On the ridgetops and in places where the soil was weak, the stuff grew only as high as a person's ankle. But it all burned. By habit, White Ash scanned the ridges, and this time she caught a hint of movement, that of a man. She squinted to see better and noted the weary way he walked. She eased back to her pack, pulling out her atlatl, lighter than a man's, suited to a woman's balance. She also picked up some of her slim darts and checked the seating of the foreshafts, each tipped with a deadly translucent brown chert point. She looked around, seeing no one else to warn, and started forward. She trotted, enjoying the exercise, watching the wavering figure ahead. It looked like...
Windrunner!
He drew up, squinting across the melting snow, then waving. As she came closer, she could see that he looked ghastly, haggard and worn. Mud and water had spattered and stained his clothing. His face was gaunt and drawn. Hollows had formed under his broad cheekbones. A series of scratches traced irregularly across the blue lines tattooed on his high forehead, and sage leaves stuck here and there in his black, shining braids.
What happened? Are the men all right?
Fine. I think. They made a kill. About a week ago. Listen. We have to move camp. There are wolf people all over out there. I don't know, maybe that bunch that raided us 2 moons ago went back and told the others. I've had to lose 2 separate parties in getting here.
White Ash shot a quick glance over his shoulder. The rolling ridges looked soft in the distance, the surfaces mottled with drifting snow.
Come on. Flying Squirrel's been worried half sick. She won't say it aloud, but I can tell.
Yes, well, we've got Buffalo down a couple of days' march south of here. Maybe after that, we better keep going that way. Stop when we get to those mountains you call sideways.
Sideways because they slope up gently on this side, then fall off in cliffs on the other.
He grinned the stupid grin of the exhausted.
Then let's move what's left of the white clay across them. How are things here? You haven't seen any raiders, no scouts, no tracks?
Nothing but wind and blowing snow. Bright Moon died. Her soul split from her body. She couldn't move for a couple of days and then went in the night. It was peaceful. She didn't suffer.
Windrunner missed a step and almost fell, eyes narrowing with pain.
Oh, not that. It's going to kill Sage Ghost. Oh, he had a feeling. He sent a message with me to tell Bright Moon he was fine and eating lots of buffalo as he thought of her.
White Ash glanced away, seeking to hide her grief.
For the moment, we have the wolf people to worry about. You sure they're looking for us?
Windrunner jerked a short nod.
I could expect a single party out hunting, but 2? No, they're after us. I think they want to drive us back north as a warning to others not to move into their territory.
But if we go back, we're headed right into Black Point country.
That's right. So what's left?
White Ash threw another look behind her.
The sideways mountains. And, well, beyond that, there are the people. There's so few. Maybe I know of a place where we can go without violating their territory.
Wherever it is, we'd better hurry. And make very few tracks in the process.
Flying Squirrel took charge the minute Windrunner gave his report. The white clay leaped to the task of taking down the camp. Children cornered the dogs and fitted leather pack harnesses despite whines and yelps. Scanty possessions were rolled and stuffed into parfleshes, which were in turn lashed to travoy and hooked to the suddenly anxious dogs. Lodge poles were hurriedly pulled from within. The carefully cured lodge covers fluttered down around those who still worked inside. White Ash shot a quick glance at Windrunner. He had collapsed onto a roll of hides and immediately dropped off to sleep. The terrible journey reflected in his slack face. For a moment, she struggled with an urge to reach down and caress his cheek. No, to do so would only embarrass him. Curses on his preoccupation with the silly marriage rules of the white clay. The sun already slanted to the west, and shadows stretched blue in the early spring cold as the white clay started on the desperate journey south. Over the crackling of the fire in Bitterbrush's lodge, Bad Belly could hear the faint sounds from Larkspur's lodge across the camp. Larkspur's orders had been explicit.
You make sure the children are all right. Keep the fires going in all the lodges. Make sure our dogs don't fight with the traders.
I want to hear the traders' news.
She'd stared at him, gaze smoky as she blinked her eyes.
Someone has to see to camp. We'll tell you what the traders said.
Bad Belly looked over to where Tuber and Lupin slept. Lupin curled in her big brother's protective arms. Tuber had turned sullen, hiding a smoldering anger in his breast since his father's death. He didn't have any more than a couple of years of boyhood left. Would he carry that explosive anger with him into manhood?
Traitor coming. Go.
Warm Fire had known. The dream had been real, not the mutterings of a man in fever. Bad Belly frowned as he ran the tips of his fingers through the hollow concave of Bitterbrush's metate, the grinding slab where she milled seeds and roots into flour. He traced patterns in the dust that clung to the heavy sandstone, and then stared at what he'd wrought, the outline of a wolf. And the black wolf had been standing there. How come he hadn't seen the animal's tracks? Every time something important happened, the black wolf appeared, staring at him from the shadows. Or did his imagination trick him?
Leave. Go.
Warm Fire's words pricked at him like greasewood thorns. Bad Belly reached behind himself to pick up the dart shaft he'd prepared with such skill for Warm Fire. The wood seemed to pulse in his grip, as if to remind him of the promise made. He balanced the perfect shaft in his hand and blinked away tears of frustration. Left Hand, a trader from another people, had listened to him with the same thoughtfulness Warm Fire had once shown him.
You don't fit.
Bad Belly gently replaced the shaft, careful not to damage the feather fletching. He stood, ducking out through the flap into the night. Morning lurked just over the horizon. Larkspur had talked most of the night away.
We take dreamers very seriously.
And am I supposed to save a dreamer?
Bad Belly looked up at the stars. The wind blew warm tonight, herald of a coming spring, just as the trader's arrival anticipated the changing of the seasons. Traders everywhere would be setting out now, turning their steps to various destinations, packs loaded with interesting things.
How would it feel to travel like that?
Bad Belly scratched Trouble's throat and went to check on the traders' dogs. They lay in a circle around the pile of packs, guarding them as they were supposed to, keeping away rodents and other pests. The camp dogs remained in their places around the lodges, having been thrashed into understanding that the traders' animals weren't to be molested.
They'll destroy you here. Beat you down bit by bit.
Bad Belly walked over to the pile of sage he and Left Hand had packed in and picked up some of the gnarly brush. He paused, staring at the mound and remembering the afternoon's work. He and Left Hand had actually had fun, talking about how the rocks looked in the south and about the giant lake of water so salty you couldn't drink from it. What made one lake clear, another muddy, and yet another full of salt? Forcing himself to the task, he replenished the fire in each of the lodges, stirring up the coals around the firestones and adding more sage. That done, Bad Belly lifted the flap of Bitterbrush's lodge and glanced in to make sure the children still slept soundly. Then he squatted in the shadow of the lodge, watching the moon rise above the edge of the round rocks. Almost round, it might have been a clay ball dropped on hard soil, the way one side lay in shadow.
Shadow? Does something... the sun shine on it? Maybe it doesn't have any fire of its own.
The idea appealed to him. He slipped into the shelter and found a round rock among his possessions. Against the firelight, it might have been the moon. Depending on which way he held it, he could mimic the cycles of the moon. The giddy excitement gripped him for only a moment. Who would want to hear his idea? Left Hand might, but Left Hand sat in the center of Larkspur's lodge, and Bad Belly knew better than to interrupt such a council over something as silly as the moon being in shadow. He ducked outside again, his rock in hand, and looked up at the moon. He could barely make out the darkened sliver. Yes, just like a shadow. The yawning grief rose inside. In another day, in a time now past, he would have immediately run to tell Warm Fire. The loss pulled at his heart. He heard steps and looked up. Left Hand stood there.
Oh, I see you've taken good care of my dogs.
They're good dogs.
You sound sad.
I was just thinking.
About Warm Fire? Larkspur told me about him. She made a great point of explaining how the healer Black Hand had so much power crackling around him that the stones almost floated. and how Warmfire's soul left despite such heroic efforts. People don't usually talk in such detail about how great a healer is.
Bad Belly shrugged, grateful that the knight hid his expression.
Black Hand is the best we've had these days.
Something about Warmfire's death bothers Larkspur. And it's not Black Hand.
Oh?
Left Hand settled himself across from Bad Belly.
Warmfire must have been a wonderful man.
Yes. I miss him. Life's not the same.
Left Hand sat in silence for a while.
Well, I'm a traitor. I guess it's part of the power, but sometimes I get a feeling from watching people. You and he, you were very close, weren't you?
Bad Belly held his peace.
It's one of the reasons Larkspur is upset with you. I could tell by the way she talked.
Warmfire told me to leave this place. Don't tell anyone, please.
That feeling of friendliness he harbored had betrayed him. That and the need to talk to someone again. Now his gut tightened.
Isn't there some other camp where you could go? Where they'd like to hear about these things you think of? I'd imagine you'd be good to have around the fire on long winter nights.
No one would want to offend Larkspur.
Have you ever thought that maybe it's your power? That maybe you need to find your own calling? Me? I found mine when I was young. I climbed to a high place and fasted for 4 days. Traitor power came to me, and I knew it was right. I've been all over. I've seen places you can only imagine. I've tasted the salt water, the western waters, and ridden on the waves with the boat people. I've eaten the big fish they spear out of the Silver River and smoke over alder fires. I've seen the places where the antelope people live, down in the red sandstone canyons, where water runs under stone arches. I've walked to the huge river in the east, where the masked dancer people live in the forests and care for the wild rice stands. They float on the water in hollowed-out logs, and cast nets to catch fish and wear masks to make themselves look like spirits. I've walked the short grass plains and shared the hide lodges of the buffalo people. I've eaten creatures the likes of which you can't imagine at the campfires of the swamp people, where the Father Water joins the Southern Sea. So many things. So many. Maybe you haven't found your power yet.
Do I have any?
Bad Belly couldn't ignore Warm Fire's claim.
I saw in the dream. You're the important one. Power wants you.
In the darkness, Left Hand leaned his head back, eyes on the stars.
Everyone has power. We have a legend. Once the wolf people and your people were at war. At the time, your people lived like the buffalo people do in the short grass plains. Your warriors came up from the plains hungry, ready to drive us from the mountains since all the water holes had dried up and the rains never fell. We were losing. And in the middle of a great fight, a dreamer rose. A dreamer who drove your warriors off by setting fire to the trees. And that time he danced with fire. And he brought you here to the Wind Basin and taught you the ways of the earth and how to use seeds for food.
Fire Dancer?
Yes, Fire Dancer. And between us, he made peace. Now, over the years, we've raided each other at times, traded at others. Generally, our peoples have gotten along. The elders among my wolf people, they keep the legends. They learn them, word for word, to remember the meaning of Fire Dancer. We are told that Fire Dancer gave your people the vision, the way to seek his own power. Since that time, you've lost that vision. You asked if you had any power. Yes, my friend, you do. Everyone does.
My friend. That's what he called me.
Bad Belly's soul ached.
I don't know. I think it's the way you live that's changed you. Among your people, only the healers and the clan leaders keep power. It's as if it's been removed from everyone but the leaders. Up there somewhere.
Left Hand pointed at the sky.
But it's not, you know. Power is what you feel around you. Part of the rocks, trees, plants, and animals.
It fills the soil as well as the sky. You need only to seek to allow yourself to feel.
I know what you're talking about. I get that feeling when I watch antelope fawns being born. Or maybe when the sunset is streaked with red and orange.
I think perhaps you do. I can see it in you. But these others, I think they've begun to remove themselves from part of the world. Maybe it's the way your shelters are built. Maybe it's the fact that you stay in one place. I was listening to Larkspur talk about the spirit that lives in the spring back of the camp. Later, I heard her mention the spirit that stays in an old dead log up on Green Mountain. I find myself wondering about that. You've taken the one and split it up into pieces.
How do you know that's not the way it is?
No, I don't. But it doesn't feel right to me. I think you Earth people are changing. I think it's because of the way you live. Maybe Larkspur is right. Maybe there are separate spirits, but my soul knows they're all part of the one.
Bad Belly ran fingers down his numb, shriveled arm.
Larkspur told me one time that the spirits would think I was foolish for asking so many questions. She said that it didn't do any good to watch things constantly, that spirits had no use for a man who was always locked in his head, that a person with responsibility should spend his time making sure he didn't make the spirits mad, and that otherwise they might take something away. Keep the biscuit root from growing, or make the pine nut harvest fail, or bring a drought.
Well, I think that's all part of the one. The spiral changes, and things change with the spiral. Maybe the biscuit root doesn't come up one spring. That's the turning of the spiral. It always comes up the next spring, or the one after that, doesn't it?
Warm Fire talked about the spiral.
Of course it does. That's because we leave gifts for the spirits who make the biscuit root grow.
You see, that's the major difference between us. The wolf people don't have to give things. We just have to be. We just have to live with the one. We call to the elk or to the mountain sheep, and they share themselves. To repay them, we sing their souls to the star web. You think you have to give something first, that the spirits are selfish, sort of like people.
I still don't know that you're right.
Then let me ask you a question. If spirit power really worked that way, if you had to appease spirit power, then my people should be starving, right? We don't leave curious little gifts to keep the spirit world happy. The biscuit root, the sago lily, and the shooting star still grow. Elk and deer and mountain sheep still let us kill them. We don't suffer from hunger.
But our healers have always done it that way. They'd know, wouldn't they? They know the ways of power.
Singing Stones came to our mountains and seeks the one.
Singing Stones, the greatest of all the healers. Bad Belly had seen him only once since the old man had sung over his arm and saved his life. He could still remember the withdrawn look in the healer's eyes.
What about you? What are you going to do? Leave, like your friend asked?
I wish I could.
What you wish you should do?
These are my people, my clan and family. It's hard. Where would I go? What would I do? I don't know.
Afraid?
Bad Belly hesitated. Was that it?
I suppose so. This is all I know. People take care of me here. I have a warm place to stay, plenty of food. If I get hurt or sicken, someone will take care of me. My ancestors are buried here. They keep watch. If I left... Well, the only time I left before... It wasn't good. There are strange people in the world. Dangerous animals like silver bears and warlike sun people. And so many things that could happen to a man.
You must find your own power. But think of this. If you wake up someday, many winters from now, and say to yourself, Warm Fire always wanted me to leave. I always wanted to find out things, watch things, follow the track of the sun across the sky, and see beyond the farthest range of mountains. Why didn't I ever go? Well, that would be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? To know that you lived all your life and never followed your dreams?
But what if something happened? If I froze to death or fell and hurt myself? I did that once. People here took care of me.
Well, we each must live our own life in our own way, Bad Belly. People die all the time. And it is dangerous out there away from your clan. But I wonder, can a man who asks what the sun burns bear to live in this valley for his whole life?
Bad Belly licked his lips, irritated by the sudden beating of his heart. Warm fire had told him the traitor was coming. Larkspur hadn't even let him stay when his friend lay dying. The night seemed to press down on him, smothering, the air heavy and oppressive.
If I don't go now, I never will. I made a promise.
I couldn't hear what you said. You mumbled.
Which way are you going?
Bad Belly closed his eyes, desperation tightening like a noose around his throat.
North.
North. Find the dreamer. Promise.
Bad Belly rubbed his fingers together. Warm fire's fevered grip clung in ghostly fashion to his flesh.
Would you... I mean... Could I go with you? North. At least for a while.
Left Hand studied him in the darkness.
After trying so hard to talk yourself out of it? Why?
Because of the promise I made to Warmfire. The one Larkspur would give so much to know about.
Windrunner forced himself to walk when all he wanted to do was sleep. Despite his weariness, a curious ecstasy filled him. Two separate parties of hostile warriors had chased him, and he'd lost them both. No matter that his very bones and muscles ached, he'd foxed both groups, outwitted them all, and escaped while leading the pursuit away from his people. Honor lay in that, along with a pulsing euphoria of triumph. He'd lived when others would have killed him.
So what's the smile for? You look about ready to fall over.
Windrunner grinned at White Ash.
Just thinking about things.
Things?
About how I kept alive while I was being hunted like a rabbit.
White Ash nodded and glanced back at the string of dogs that followed in their tracks. She and Windrunner walked in front, since he knew the location of the kill site. The 60 or so remaining people of the White Clay followed in single file, Flying Squirrel and the young boy drummer bringing up the rear. They couldn't hide this trail, but if they moved fast enough, they might avoid pursuit until they could find a place that could be defended. Perhaps the buffalo would give them strength to continue their flight farther south.
Seems almost like the end of the White Clay.
White Ash squinted up at the sun that beat down now, warm, bright. The snow had begun to turn to mush, and the soil had started to thaw into mud.
Maybe it is. Flying Squirrel and I have talked about that. Why don't you go join the Black Point? You have relatives there. They take you in as long as you renounced all ties to the White Clay.
I suppose. My mother's sister, Two Antelopes, married Stonefist, a Black Point warrior. They would speak for me. I would have to declare my clan dead. I suppose all of us could go. We'd be like... well, not like real people, not part of the clan if we lived with them. No one would listen to us in council. We wouldn't have any say about where we were going or what we were doing. We'd be strangers among them.
There are ways. You've heard of Buffalo Tail. He's one of the most respected elders on the Broken Stones Council. He was Blackpoint originally. He earned his rights by duel.
I just outran two war parties of wolf people. I wouldn't want to have to fight to make a place for myself.
Or did he? He'd survived when by rights he should have been killed. Power honored men of courage who dared to try themselves.
It might not be all that bad. You could at least find a woman to marry. Maybe a pretty young woman, one who would bear you many children.
When she saw his expression, she made a gesture as if to toss her words away.
I'm sorry. Forgive me for saying that. I didn't mean to hurt you. I think maybe I wanted to hurt myself. I'm still missing Bright Moon, feeling grief over her death. Hating the thought of having to tell Sage Ghost.
It'll break his heart.
He let the subject change, wanting to talk more about his love for her. Afraid to at the same time. A smart man would try to ignore her, keep her at a distance.
I'm just not smart, that's all.
They walked in silence. He stole a glance at her, seeing the thoughts reflected in her face as she considered how to approach Sage Ghost. For a long moment, he admired her beauty, longing to reach out and touch her. The sway of her hips captivated him. Her sorrow tortured his soul. He couldn't love her, no matter how much he wanted to. She was his uncle's daughter. Among the white clay, he must call her sister. However, if he were to leave, to go among the Black Point, and win a place there, he could marry her. His clan would be renounced, dead. He would have no relatives. The idea stunned him as he turned it over in his mind, looking at all sides. There would be risks, of course. He'd have to fight for a place among the Black Point. Could he do it? Could he win? Far to the west, barely visible against the rising foothills of the mountains, a flight of geese winged north. North.
Could work.
The thought captured him, made stronger by the exhaustion that cloaked his being. He thought of Brave Man's expression when he heard that Windrunner offered marriage to White Ash. Brave Man, he could be a problem in the meantime.
You have another thing to think about, you know.
White Ash gave him a wary glance.
Brave Man is going to be working on Sage Ghost, dropping hints, seeking to gain favor. He's going to want to marry you.
I'll say no. Sage Ghost, even if his heart is broken, won't make me marry a man I don't want.
Windrunner frowned at the horizon.
You're going to have to marry someday. The White Clay are running out of choices for you.
There's only one man among the White Clay I'd want to marry.
We've had that discussion before. You're my uncle's daughter, among the White Clay.
It's incest, I know. But I'm not your sister. No matter that your people call first cousins that.
Windrunner squinted at the horizon. Should he tell her? Did he want to commit himself? No. Wait. Like the good hunter, he didn't want to hurry.
It's the way of my people. I can't turn my back on my clan or on the beliefs of my father and my father's father. A man without his people is nothing, no more than a beast. I'm sorry. If things were different, if Sage Ghost hadn't raised you as his, had not called you his daughter in council, you would already be my wife.
Then why haven't you married? Dancing Rose would crawl into your robes if you so much as blinked at her.
Because?
Because why?
Just because. You know why.
She looked at him with eyes that wounded his soul.
And if Brave Man abducts me again?
Then I'll track him down and take you back. And if he resists, I'll drive a dart through him.
White Ash stiffened. Among the Earth people, no greater horror, not even the horror of incest, existed than that of murder. More than once she'd seen the Sun people turn violently on each other. War lived in their souls. Had it crept into hers?
I don't know who I am anymore, Windrunner. If you killed Brave Man for raping me, I'd... Well, I don't know. Maybe I finally understand what you mean about your people. It's something we grow up with. Me, I can understand your loathing of incest. By understanding my feeling about how horrible murder is among the Earth people.
And who else is there for you to marry?
What happened to Black Eagle and Grey Thunder's bands?
I haven't heard any news of them, have you? It's been close to 3 years since we split from Black Eagle's camp. He thought he could hold the land higher up on the Fat Beaver River. I always thought he'd show up again. Now, well, I'm not so sure.
I won't have Brave Man. I'd rather couple with a white bear than with what he has become.
A thrill shot up Windrunner's spine. Perhaps there was a way. If Brave Man tried to abduct White Ash again, he'd have to kill his old friend. So much had changed between himself and Brave Man. And if he ran off to the Black Point and married White Ash, Brave Man would come hunting him to pay back the insult to the White Clay and take White Ash away from him. Bad Belly stooped and got into the strap that held his pack on. He stood, taking the weight. Around him, the pre-dawn shadows softened the familiar outlines of Round Rock Camp. The fresh morning air nipped at him, and the chill from the ground leached into his thick moccasins. He looked around at the camp, and a sudden fullness gripped his breast.
You've got your extra fire sticks?
In the pack.
Bitterbrush looked him up and down.
Well, be careful. If it looks like a spring storm, hole up. Don't take any chances.
I won't.
Bad Belly, you're being an idiot. Just like usual. Give up this quest. You're going out to get yourself in trouble. Why are you doing this to me? Haven't I always taken care of you? Do you think this traitor is going to take care of you? What about your responsibility to—
Bitterbrush. Hush.
You're not up to this, Bad Belly, and you know it. Why don't you show some sense for the first time in your life and act like a man for once? You're about to make the worst
Bitterbrush.
Mistake you'll ever make. And you've made a lot of them. I just won't have this.
Cattail laid a hand on her shoulder.
Daughter, let your brother do as he wishes.
Bad Belly cast a look of gratitude at his father. Bitterbrush bit her lip and nodded reluctantly, resentment in her eyes. Left Hand secured the last of his dog's packs and straightened, pride in his eyes as he looked over his animals. Then he ducked into his tump line, stood, and checked the balance of his load. Bad Belly turned to leave, not surprised to notice that only his sister had come to wish him off. Limbercone, Flockseed, and Pretty Woman probably sat in Larkspur's lodge plotting with the old woman. Perhaps they were discussing what an insult it was to the camp that Bad Belly would run off with a traitor. Bad Belly's stomach ached. It hadn't been as difficult as he'd thought. Larkspur hadn't thrown a ring-tailed fit. A traitor had power. People didn't offend traitors, as Larkspur well knew. To do so would give Round Rock a bad reputation, causing other traitors to bypass the camp in the future.
She wouldn't let me stay with my dying friend. Not even when Warmfire asked me to. He never spoke again after I left.
Now that Bad Belly balanced on the threshold of freedom, a new emotion sparked in his gut. Anger. The look the old woman gave him would remain engraved in his memory.
Ha! Then go! Run off with the traitor! Turn your back on your family and clan!
She'd motioned him out with the same gesture she'd used to shoo a bothersome fly. Cattail had tried to smile, losing it somehow and only looking foolish.
You watch yourself when you get to the mountains. One wrong step up there, and you'll have a leg just like your arm.
I'll be careful, Father.
Cattail thought for a moment.
Keep to the ridges. The mud's not so bad there. It'll be impossible down in the drainages, you'll see. You walk in that sticky, gooey mud for a couple of days, and you'll learn just how tired you can be. Once you hit the sandhills, the travel will be easier.
I expect Left Hand knows the way.
Cattail smiled wistfully.
I know it's been hard for you here. You're a good man, my son. Just a little different, that's all. I don't blame you a bit. In fact, you make me proud. Goodbye. Good luck.
Tell Grandmother... Nothing. Never mind.
She's upset by this. We all are.
Bitterbrush stepped close.
But maybe I don't blame you either.
Bad Belly smiled farewell, wondering at the look she gave him. Limbercone, Flockseed, and Pretty Woman hadn't even told him goodbye. They'd just stared at him, condemnation in their eyes. Why did they have to do that? It was guilt, that's what it was. They didn't know what to do with him. So, if he ran out and ran afoul of a silver bear or a wolf people war party, they would think it was their fault. The thought didn't comfort him. Morning looked to be breaking. This day would be clear and sunny. And no doubt the wind would whistle down from the monster mountains in a roaring gale. Walking into the wind wore a person out. Left Hand lifted an eyebrow and gestured toward the trail. Bad Belly drew his lungs full of Round Rock Camp's air. He looked around one last time to settle the scene in his memory. He'd been born right over there in Limbercone's lodge. Here he'd lived as a boy, running and laughing, almost dying from snakebite. Sitting in the shade, he'd enjoyed hours of talk with Warm Fire. His sweat and effort had gone into the building of Bitterbrush's earthen lodge. Part of his soul would linger here. A strange twist of melancholy mixed with the excitement he felt for the journey ahead. A man loses something of himself when he leaves his home. It's a small death that marks a turning in his life. Bad Belly turned to Left Hand.
Ready.
He paused, smiling at Trouble.
Come on.
Trouble jumped and spun around as if he could sense the importance of this leaving. He lowered his chest and clawed at the cold ground, his tail whipping back and forth. Together, they walked down the beaten trail that led toward the cold water. Bad Belly settled under the weight of the pack, walking slowly until his leg muscles warmed up, feeling the stiffness in his joints. They'd watch him until he'd passed from sight. For that, he refused to look back, refused to give them the satisfaction of a final wave to assuage their consciences. As he and Left Hand passed the toe of the ridge, Bad Belly recognized Tuber's silhouette in the morning light. The boy stood on the crest of the dune where warm fire was buried, staring down at the ground.
Left Hand, wait a moment.
Bad Belly gave Trouble a hand command to stay and started in the boy's direction. This goodbye couldn't be ignored. Poor Tuber. He'd suffered as much as Bad Belly, maybe more. Tuber heard him coming and raised his head. Then, like a frightened jackrabbit, the boy leaped over the other side and ran full tilt into the sage, clearing the low brush, racing as if the ghosts of the restless dead pursued him.
Hey, Tuber, it's Bad Belly!
Tuber only ran faster. Bad Belly frowned after the disappearing boy. Then he glanced down and saw the hole where warm fire had been laid. The coyotes had been at it, digging up the frozen chunks of dirt. They hadn't managed to pull all of Warm Fire's body out, but they'd ravaged what they could get to. Bad Belly closed his eyes for a moment, seeking to still the suffocating grief. It was the way of the world. Coyotes had their own nature. Cattail and Flat Sedge should have dug the grave deeper, though. Turning away, he started back to the trail where Left Hand waited. Windrunner led the white clay onto the ridgetop where the buffalo had been killed. Bloodstains still marked the trampled snow.
Looks like the wolf people didn't find them.
White Ash could not share the joy that filled her companions. Here was food, but she would have to face Sage Ghost. Several of the hunters waved, coming toward them from the makeshift shelters woven out of sagebrush that guarded the meat. In the forefront, White Ash could make out Sage Ghost's muscular figure. Brave Man pushed past her father, breaking into a run. Cramps spasmed in White Ash's legs, and the hunger knot in her belly constricted. Her throat tightened. Brave Man raced up to her and stopped. His knowing grin widened while a gleam lit his dark eyes. The black crosses tattooed on his face seemed to stand out from his chilled flesh.
Meat! For all of us! Share my fire and my meat with me. We must talk, you and I, about this.
She pushed past him, hating the smirk that had molded his face, hating him with a bitter futility. Sage Ghost came next, smiling, a happy light in his eyes as he looked beyond her, expecting Bright Moon.
Sage Ghost?
He turned a penetrating gaze on her. That warm smile of greeting destroyed her, ruined all the words she'd so carefully composed. The bright blue sky, the warm, batting wind, the smell of sage and melting snow, all dimmed. The earth itself seemed to darken as he met her gaze, smile fading.
What happened?
Come with me. We have to talk.
She dropped her head. Tears battled to break free. She led the way down the windward side of the ridge, away from the milling people. The sound of Sage Ghost's hurried steps shredded her composure. At the foot of the ridge, an outcrop of sandstone raised its barren bones from the embrace of the soil. Snow had drifted against the base of the rocks, curving in a crescent around the angular boulders. She turned, letting the breeze whip her long black hair around her face. Sage Ghost studied her through worry-bright eyes. The five circles tattooed on his forehead stood out starkly from his suddenly pale flesh.
Bright Moon?
White Ash bit her lip, slowly nodding her head. His strong hands gripped her shoulders. She was scarcely aware of the pain as his powerful fingers ate into her numb flesh.
Her soul split from her body. I was there the whole time. She didn't suffer. I felt her go. Felt her soul go free in the night. Warm. Happy with the one.
She forced herself to look up, to fall into the pits of misery reflected in his eyes. His grip on her shoulders trembled and loosened.
No!
There was nothing we could do. Flying squirrel!
He broke away and turned. Hiding his face, he took two stumbling steps and stopped.
Where? Where is she?
Back at the old camp. We placed her on the ridge to the west and prayed. Her soul floated free in a wonderful warm mist. She smiled, Sage Ghost. She smiled.
I'll go back. Go back and stay with her. Watch over...
No!
She grabbed him and pulled him around. The tears streaking down his face frightened her.
She wouldn't want that. You'd just torture yourself. Maybe die too.
What if I do? Without... There's nothing. Nothing.
I need you. We all need you. She's gone. Let her go.
She shook her head, seeking to rid herself of the images her thoughts conjured, of Bright Moon's body chewed by scavengers, of Sage Ghost on the freezing ridgetop, lonely company for a rotting corpse.
I don't know about the spirit world, but what if you hurt her? Kept Thunderbird from taking her to the camp of the dead? Caused her to come back from the stars? She died in peace. Let her go, Father.
His haunted stare gutted her.
I need her.
She broke then and wrapped her arms tightly around him. He hugged her to him, crushing her against his chest as she buried her face in the soft leather of his coat. His worn clothing carried the familiar scents of his body, odors of stale sweat and buffalo blood, of winter fires, of a life that would never be the same. On the ridgetop, Brave Man stepped out from the tangle of people clustered at the kill site. He slipped off to one side, circling to place the bulk of the ridge between himself and prying eyes. Moving carefully, he reached a spot where he could look down. He watched as White Ash and Sage Ghost hugged each other, buried in the dark pain of their grief.
You won't be able to deny me much longer, White Ash. Sage Ghost won't be willing to argue while his soul is pining for Bright Moon.
Soon. Something is going to happen soon. Be ready. Ready to take your chance. Power comes.
Power comes.
Brave Man looked up at the endless blue of the sky.
Hear me, spirit world. Wherever I have to go, whatever I have to do, I will have White Ash. On my soul, I swear it. I will use her strength. With her power, you can't cast me out of the golden mist.